I had a pastor friend of mine. I have several pastor friends, but about 25 years ago, serving in upstate New York, there was a group of us that used to play Pinochle. It's a fun card game. I get addicted to it, and you start playing. My family would play it, and any time I get a chance, we'd play it any time. And the one pastor that would play with us actually came back from an area serving the congregation that I was presently assisting with. And all I heard was about the sainted Donald. His name was Don Miller. And, everybody talked about how much they really loved Don when he was there and so glad that he's back. And he had the wisdom not to rejoin the church that he had served. He joined another congregation 10 miles down the road. And I can remember asking him one night as we were playing Pinochle, I said, "So Don," I said, "do you realize how much you are revered at United?" And he kind of looked up at me. He says, "I am amazed at what they say about me because they certainly forgot about the instances when they weren't so affectionate with me when I was here earlier." Time has a way of moving things away that eases those painful situations. Sometimes we hear that even among ourselves when we kind of pine for the days gone by. I wish it was this time, or I wish it was that. And we forget about all the hard times that we had to get through to get to where we are today. It's easy to do because it just kind of gets skimmed over. Tonight, as we gather together, I want to suggest that I know many of you, and even though I will ask you, "How are you?" you'll say, "I'm fine, I'm good." And you will ask that of me, and I will say the same thing. But many of us, have this sense of trying to hold it all together. Because there's a lot of things that are going on in our world right now that it's just causing us as individuals to feel like at any minute we could just fall apart, that we could be broken. We come and we realize that in moments such as these that, we can be thankful when family comes together, but we also know that there are those of us who have no family, or our family is broken, or there's been divorce, or there's struggles in relationships. Some of us come here tonight having experienced the death of a loved one in recent time, and those are painful things to have to hold on to. For others of us, it may be a sense of security and trying to just keep it together to pay the bills and make sure everything, comes together. We will say, when you ask us, even though all this stuff is going on, we'll say, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you too." But, and that's not really true. But what are you going to do? You're going to stand there and you're going to let that poor person, and I'll never forget this, my father, who always talked to everybody. He was a retired pastor. And he just, anywhere we went, up until the day he died, he would just talk to staff, nurses, whatever, and he would ask them, "How are you doing?" And I'll never forget the one day we were at a Bob Evans restaurant, and we were sitting there, we were hungry as anything, and my dad asked the waitress, "How are you?" And expecting her to say, "Fine, and what would you like to have?" She proceeded to tell us for the next 15 minutes all her problems as our stomachs are saying, "Feed me, feed me." And God bless my father, because he that's what he did. And she took advantage of the moment to be able to just spill a little bit about what's going on in her life, which was not good. I want to suggest to you that we kind of do the same thing with this Jesus story. We've really removed ourselves from really the activity of what was going on that first Christmas night. We have these beautiful settings in our home, and the trees are lit, and we put up the greens, and there's all these symbols of things that are to represent who Christ is, who God is. The greens representing everlasting life, the wreath representing eternity, because there's no beginning and there's no end. The lights reminding us of the light of Christ. All beautiful symbols and all things that are important for us to hold in our hearts. And we do things to help us to be able to connect to God, to remember the fact that we are baptized. And some of us make the sign of the cross as a way of remembering that. But I want to suggest to you that if this were to happen now, what happened over 2,000 years ago, I don't suspect that we would find that Jesus would be born here. probably not in any of our homes either, or our neighborhoods. But my guess is it would be probably some place that you and I would find to be a bit shady, or actually upsetting. Maybe in the midst of a couple of crack houses in the center city, or perhaps maybe in the midst of the immigrants who are on the southern border of the U.S. These are things that were happening at the time of Christ's birth. It was a time of uneasiness. It was a time of great pain. And the experiences of the Jews in those days, they did not have a lot of hope. All of us, you know, have had moments where we feel despair or depressed. We may have experienced family members who have even, or maybe you yourself have come to that place of feeling hopeless. My hope is that in those feelings that you are able to reach out and find somebody who is a God-bearer that can bring the very good news that the angels proclaimed that first night. Glory to God in the highest. This past Sunday's reading, we had the Magnificat, which is this beautiful hymn of Mary, and I understand that here at St. Luke's, as over at St. Andrew's, kind of sharing the similar thoughts about the political statement that Mary was making at the time. Oh, he's going to fill the hungry with good things, and the rich he's going to send away empty. Those are words that should not just kind of fly by without us thinking about it. Nor are the words that we hear tonight as Luke continues this statement, which turns the world upside down, because he begins by telling us the setting in which all this happens. He even includes the Caesar's name at the time and the governor. And we hear about a census. And the census was a means not only to count people in their empire, but it was a means of control. It was a way of finding out how much money you made and how much money you had to give to the emperor, and you had no choice over to how much you needed to give. And there was no cutting slack to anyone, even those who were in destitute situations, who were poverty-stricken, were expected to pay tribute to Caesar. And Jesus was born in the middle of that whole scenario of Caesar saying, I am the one who rules. I am the one who will control what you say and what you do. I am the one that will permit you to do and will not permit you to do things. And where is Jesus born? He's born in a stable or a cave. It's a place that is not where you would expect this person who is called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior. Those very words that Luke uses were the very words that they used to say about Caesar Augustus. Even on the coinage that you can find from his time, actually any Caesar, Son of God, Savior. Luke was saying, here is a king. He was running counter to what Roman rule was all about, but instead he was saying, no, Caesar is not the one who will reign in your hearts. Caesar is not the one who's going to care about you, but this one who's born in the manger, this is the one that will provide you with what you need. And you know, according to Matthew, when Herod heard that there was to be a king that was to be born, he sent the wise men unknowingly for a mission for him to find that child so that he could go and kill it, because he saw Jesus as a threat to his kingship. And maybe because the town was so obscure, maybe because of the situation was in such a remote area that Caesar never caught wind of what it was that they were calling Jesus at the time. But I'm sure that if at that moment that the authorities knew what it was that they were proclaiming Jesus to be, that Jesus wouldn't be existing. At least there would have been an attempt to cause harm. Mary already, her world is turned upside down, and she's carrying this child. She has to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Joseph, who is uncertain about all this whole thing that went on, how it is that his wife is expecting and having to believe that God talked to her, an angel came to her and said, you know, you're going to have a child. And according to Matthew, he comes to Joseph and says, don't be afraid, Joseph. This is what's to happen. And even at that, I would think that even having that in a dream saying, did I really dream that? And Jesus was born in that situation. Not in the comfort of a hospital bed, not in the comfort of even your home, but there in a crude place. This one who is now called Savior, Son of God. And then we have this instance where Luke tells us that the angels appear to some shepherds out in the field. And what do they say? Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. For unto us this day a child is born. Good news in those days meant that it was a term used by the empire. When there was good news, it was about the announcement of perhaps a birth in the royal family, or that there was a great victory that was accomplished, or a new beginning was happening. Good news represented something of the kingdom of Rome. And Luke just takes that from them, and we hear how the angels make this proclamation that the good news that comes doesn't come out of Rome, but it comes out of this little town of Bethlehem, out of where Jesus is born, a place that was already the birthplace of a king. And that good news was the fact that Jesus wasn't just born to serve and to be with those of his own kind. It wasn't set as in the Roman understanding, was that the Roman good news was really for those who were the elite. Had nothing to do with the common everyday person, had nothing to do with those that were struggling to just make ends meet. The good news was for those who had the means. And then finally, the other words that he uses that has an equivalency of this political situation, to bring peace, goodwill to all. Roman pax, Roman peace was important in those days, because after all the turbulence of Rome and the empire as it grew, and the battles that they fought, and the loss of life and all these things, it was understood that they desired to live in peace, but it had to be according to Roman rule. And again, that peace was extended only to those who Rome felt deserved it. It was not to the conquered peoples. It was not to those who could really do much. Actually, the Jews had a similar understanding of what that peace was to be. That good news was going to be that they would finally be set free from their bondage to any occupying country. So if we reel all this stuff in from the past and we put it in our own life, what is Luke saying to us? Luke is saying that even in the midst of our own political upheaval that we experience in life, that there is good news that we should continue to hear and proclaim to the world. That good news from 2,000 years ago just didn't pertain at that particular time, but also shares in this moment right now. For all of you who struggle and come with that sense of brokenness in life, and I can't imagine that there's one single person in this community or in anywhere in the world where one can say, I am free of all those things, because, doggone it, we get old and things just don't work. We have our aches and pains, and we have that sense of mortalness, and we have that understanding that, you know, if we have any compassion in our life, we can understand how our responses to others can have a lifetime effect. To someone who looks at a child in a very uncaring or angry way because they are making noise in the church, or by saying something to a parent, and maybe we can do that in a very civil way, but I know what that feeling of that stare is, because I was on the receiving end of that. And I haven't forgotten it to this day. That stuff lives with you. When we, people of God, people who are celebrating this birth of Christ today, when we feel that we ourselves are being threatened, we will strive to survive. But the challenge here is that what do we do with those who are not part of our family, or what do we do with those who are not even part of our religion? We just say, okay. Because the peace that Christ brings to us is not just for one set of people. It's not just for Lutherans and Roman Catholics. It's not just for Christians, but it's for the entire world. And the fact that God is so generous that he gives us his son this night means to you and to me that thank goodness he is generous, because none of us would be singing all these Christmas carols, or we're only fooling ourselves if we're deserving. The good news that we receive tonight is that God makes you whole. God gives you a new beginning. God gives you the ability to find healing and wholeness, and to celebrate the fact that Christ became flesh so that we might be able to hear how he has spoken, so we may be able to see what it is that he has done. All those miracles, the healings, people, their sight being restored and people being able to get up and walk, are all instances of what this kingdom is to look like when it's final. That for you and I, as we get older, or when we have something happen to us, and when we struggle with tumors or with whatever it is that afflicts us, that we know that in time, those things will no longer have impact in our life. No longer will parents be crying and worrying about their children who are in a hospital, struggling just to live. No longer for those who see their eyesight dimming and finding that those things that were so important to them are no longer able to be seen. No longer for those who just desire to belong will be excluded. The church is a human institution. It is an imperfect place. And we, even we, at times have been exclusive to others. Sometimes we do it knowingly, sometimes we don't. So it's important for us to understand this historical setting that we have, that Luke tells us about this birth of Christ. And all these years that we've kind of gotten away from it, and we romanticize about it, and we see this creche and the child, and we see Joseph and Mary, all we remember is that this child was born. And we'll even have our figures up on the mantle or someplace there, and it doesn't even impact us to realize what the smells of that night must have been like, or how noisy and how cold it must have been. This certainly wouldn't be a place that you would put your baby, would it? Tonight, what Luke is challenging us to do, as the shepherds receive this message, they are the first ones. They are the first ones who take what they hear and they tell the family as they gather around them what happened to them, about the angels appearing to them, about the fact that they were terrified and that they were told not to be afraid, but there would be great news of joy, that a Savior has come. Someone who cares about you. Someone who shares what God's love is about in totality, not in measured form as we as humans do, that we will say, I will give you this gift if you give me a gift. Aren't there times that you feel like that? You know, somebody gives you a gift and you forgot to give them something? What do you feel like about this big, right? Instead of just simply being celebrating the fact that this person thought of you and gave you this gift, to simply say thank you and rejoice at the fact that they've done this. It's not about you. It's about the gift that the person has given you. And it's the same thing when it comes to God's love for us. It's no matter what we do, no matter what we strive to do, whether we sing beautifully, or whether we can preach beautifully, or whether we can proclaim the word of Christ, or when we have fallen short, it is God who closes that gap It is God who comes to us. And this thing that we celebrate tonight, that's only the beginning of the story. Because as Jesus grows in years, and as we see, as his teachings share with us, and his miracles show us what that kingdom is to be about, that we are all to be mindful and caring of others, that we put ourselves second to the love of Christ. If you desire that you feel a need to give to God, I believe God would say to us, then give it to someone who you feel is undeserving. Give it to somebody that you don't even know. Give it to someone and share with them what it is and why you do this tonight, because this is what the gift that God gives us is all about. To not look at people on the south of the border as people of different colors and ethnicity, but to see them as children of God, to see how parents and children are ripped apart is wrong. How life is meant to be that we are in community, that those who desire to experience the same very gifts that we have should not be held at arm's length, but welcomed. We do not withhold the love of Christ from some that we say, I'm sorry, you just don't belong here. We welcome all people. There's no one here to check your list, not like Santa Claus. You know, as you come up for communion, you will not find somebody standing here and saying, oh, Marcy Miller, okay. I don't think you should come to communion today. Go sit down. Thank God we don't have a God like that. Celebrate the fact that God sees you as his child. That's what this celebration tonight is all about. And if you are a child of God, the call that we have is to be able to see in each one of us, not only here, but out there in the world. And we can see how Christ is manifested in those that think differently than us, believe differently than us, have different political understandings than us. There is no place for divisions. It is all about the fact that you are a child of God. And because of that, you have my respect, you have my love, you have my compassion. Even when people desire to do harm to us, we still ask God to help us to see Christ in them. And perhaps maybe by being able to reflect that, help them to find a better way to live. And so, tonight, all of you, whatever it is that your circumstances in your life, this is not about a feel-good story, but it is one that is an assurance that says to you and to me that God is with us, that God's compassion and love is here, and it won't go away. No matter what you do, no matter how far you try to run, no matter how much you want to resist God, God's love is there. And for that, I am deeply and eternally grateful. May God, in this night, grant you the ability to find wholeness, to find a peaceful heart in the midst of all the stuff that goes on, that you can sort through it and that you can see that in spite of everything that may be going on that seems to be going against you, that God is with you. And that with that, our hearts may find true joy. And that with that joy, we bring it to the rest of the world. May God bless you, and may you have a joyous Christmas. And may 2019 bring us to a greater sense of what it is to be a community and to be one in Christ. Amen.